You're listening to the Digital Dive Media Podcast, a curation of digital marketing industry news, trends, and other content designed to keep communication professionals informed. I'm your host, Kelly Kelly. This is episode 2, and I'm speaking with Brandon Akira, VP of Marketing and Business Development for Tebow Dental. Let's start with you telling us about your organization, your job title, and what some of your duties entail.
Well, the name of our company is Tebow Dental. My name is Brandon Akira. I'm the Vice President of Marketing and Business Development, the Chief Creative Officer. We have about 100 employees. We have four practices in the Atlanta area. I wear a lot of hats. I'm a member of our executive management team. We probably have about 40,000 patient visits a year, and everything from just the general of business development, innovative marketing, interacting with staff, building the internal, external brand. We take a very hands-on approach to how we interact with our team, how we interact and engage our patients. And we like to think in a rather traditional industry, such as dentistry, we're more on the innovative side, and we pride ourselves in that.
And what role does digital marketing play in your organization?
Well, that kind of dovetails off of the idea that we're very innovative in the sense that the president of our company is what I'd call a risk taker when it comes to innovation and, you know, digital media, how social media marketing have evolved and how quickly they've evolved. And, you know, when I first came into the equation, there was kind of an opportunity for the leadership team at the time to kind of say, who are we? Who aren't we? What is our target demographic? Happens to be kids. Because we have such a large pediatric demographic, young children, it became very easy for us to define who we want to be and who we're going to be, how we're going to capitalize off of that and who we aren't. And over time, a natural transition of kids, in all honesty, putting down a basketball and picking up an iPad, you know, you kind of just ride the wave in that sense. And so what we started to do is look at how the kids communicate today, what they're engaged by, but also kind of not losing the sight of the fact that kids have parents. Parents are the ones that ultimately make the decision. And how are parents communicating? And we all know that parents are communicating on their cell phones. You know, they're very comfortable with the idea of email. Nowadays, the average mother or father that has a young child from 2 to 6 or 7 or 8 years old isn't impressed by video anymore. They expect it. So we just kind of took the idea of embracing what has always been popular to kids in that age range. And a lot of it has been a cartoonish, creative, colorful, fun kind of element and innovating, you know, digital media in that. And what is digital media today? Digital media is open, free expression and the opportunity for anyone to convey what they think, how they think, and what they feel. Instead of saying, this is who we are, kind of understanding who our target demographic is amongst kids and parents and just providing them more of that, but not losing our overall compass and compromising us as a company just to satisfy people who aren't necessarily going to result in new patient traffic.
So internally, what was the process like for integrating digital into the overall strategy? And what were some of the challenges?
In our particular case, we're very unique. We have a mascot, Barney-like, kind of Elmo-like that the kids love. His name is Tebow the Tooth. They had that when I came into the equation. And I kind of just put a creative spin on it. I gave the character life. We started doing, I would say, back in 2010, right when around the time when YouTube was on the bang and Google acquired YouTube. And SEO was just kind of the ramping thing of, you know, having that online presence. So basically, with the team that we were developing at the time, me being the creative piece that was driving that force, the question became, what is the full extent of our capability and how can we capitalize off of that for the maximum amount of value to our patients in terms of being unique, but the minimal amount of expense to the business? And so I created these characters, Tebow the Tooth, Mindy Moeller, Thomas the Crown. You can search for them on YouTube. They've got videos and a presence online, that sort of thing. And I gave them voices. I gave them life, if you will. We started going to schools. We started to create these educational videos, these fun musical videos, these kind of YouTube-inspired videos, trying to really just tamper with the market and see what would really stick. Are we going to become a YouTube kind of sensation? Is that really going to drive revenue for the company at the end of the day, given the fact that we have, at the time, I think it was about 65 employees? And really, what does that look like in the bigger picture long term? So we realized that with having the right people, bringing on the right team, bringing on a key videographer, a digital media expert, bringing in resources in music and bringing in editors and things like that, we started to take those characters, turn those characters into musicians, if you will, We pumped out over the course of a year and a half, I would say, 2 music CDs. I wrote a children's book, did the voices for 9 of those characters on YouTube. And we kind of just created this semi-revolution within the culture of our existing patients, which then in turn created this buzz with new patients. So, for example, we go into an elementary school. Kids who are existing patients say, oh, I know Tebow. He's my dentist. And I get to see Tebow, the mascot, whenever I come into the appointment. So that makes the other kids want to come. They go tell their parents. They come in. And then I say, okay, wait a second. They're watching cable and Nickelodeon. They're enamored by this. Why can't we create our own stuff? Can we do that? So that turned into, you know, a small room that had the right kind of a music equipment, because I've got experience doing that. I've got experience in acting. It turned into us renovating a building and my current office now, which has a full production studio. We've got a 14 by 14 square foot green screen. And we kind of just said, for these fixed cost items, no residual cost outside of building this stuff, can we continue to feed the market at a cost that is reasonable to us, but also expand on the company's future in terms of merchandising and in terms of growth? And naturally, as a natural result, you create music. We had CDs printed up at the time. The children's book that I wrote, we had that printed up. But then that turned into an iBook. Then that turned into music on iTunes. Then that turned into Tebow TV, where the kids come in and they get to watch Tebow the Two doing his different videos. And every time we create a new video, we would release it into our iTunes-style kind of playlist. And I handle that all remotely. Fast forward to 2013, and we open our Decula office. And I said, okay, well, if willing to take it the full fixed cost for the maximum long-term benefit, let's see if we can take it a step further. We've got the Tebow TV in our existing pediatric offices. Let's take it a step further, and let's see if we can build a 4D theater. When I was a kid, I went to Disney, and I was blown away by the Shrek, I think it was Shrek 4D theater. So I convinced my executive team to come with me down to the Georgia Aquarium. And I think this was like in 2012. And that was right when we were kind of building out and doing the blueprints for our Decula office. And I said, if we really want to crush it, if we really want to change the game and really just make ourselves unique in dentistry, lots of dental offices have a movie theater. But if we had a 4D theater and could figure out the technology and make it low cost and create our own intellectual property media, it would take the idea of digital media to the next level, because everybody's trying to become an influencer, right? Everybody's trying to build their YouTube following. I mean, from 2013 to 2017, that's what you've been seeing. And I said, we've already got 40,000 patient visits a year. We already have our following. Let's feed it from the inside out. Let's not try to, you know, reach around our elbow and try to engage the people who aren't spending money with us. Let's engage the people who are loyal patients to us. And, you know, we don't have customers, we have patients. So it's a different dynamic in terms of how we approach and engage children and parents. But through that process, we created a 4D theater. Tebow the Tooth, he has his own life. He hosts his theater. I created the Tebow Kids Store. In that same office, he's got t-shirts, hats, chapstick, the storybooks that people buy. Fast forward, that turned into a stuffed toy pillow that comes in its own box that we have mass produced. And, you know, we're feeding the thing. And as far as digital media, we have doctors that come in that have experience working at other offices, right? We have people in the dental industry. We have people who are parents of our young patients who come in and apply. And they come into our offices and they come into our executive conference room and they say, you know, you guys are far from a dental office. You guys are like the Disney of dentistry. And that kind of psychology is what we want to create. We don't want to necessarily hard sell that we're not trying to be in the industry that we're in, but we're kind of pacing ourselves for where we see ourselves in 5 years. And that's a matter of taking all of that digital media and turning it into a subsidiary product, you know, additional revenue stream, but still never losing sight of what drives revenue and really where our home experience is. And that's dentistry. But in terms of, you know, digital media as a whole, it is everything that has made us different from our competitors. And our biggest competitors are dental offices that have anywhere from 10 to 30 to 40 or 50 offices to our 4. So being innovative and thinking outside the box and creating that intellectual property has, for us, been something that money can't buy. And digital media has been the vehicle in which we've been able to drive that to our target demographic.
Speaking of innovation, I mean, that is amazing. I've never heard of a scope like that for your industry. And so then that leads to my next question. How did you get buy-in? This is revolutionary. So how did you convince your e-board in the very beginning to say, hey, we need to bring on this staff, we need to invest in these things, when there was really no precedent for them to look at and say, well, okay, I can see where the ROI will be. How did you convince them?
One word, execution. I have experience singing, writing, recording studios, that sort of thing. At first, we were kind of looking at doing parodies. That was really huge at one point. Everybody was doing an NSYNC parody or something of that nature. And so I said, look, I'm going to take, I think I took a Lady Gaga song. I think it was like Bad Romance. And I said, let me just show you what I can do if we really want to do something. And so the primaries in our company are those execs. You know, it's not like we had to go out and get funding for this capacity, things at this size, but it was kind of a testing ground, a launch pad to see if we were going to be able to execute on a grand scale against private equity firms that can, you know, that have the resources to tap into to really execute this kind of thing with an outside marketing firm. But a marketing firm, they can't manufacture a heartbeat. And that was the first thing that we needed to see if we could accomplish. And so I executed by producing some parodies, and I literally scripted it all out and did everything that I could to paint the picture. I invented multiple characters. I literally cheated up for them so that they would realize that if they were to invest anything, that they would get multiple of 10, a multiple of 100 on the dollar for what they would invest, whether it was a video, whether it was a song, whether it was me pooling my resources and me handpicking people. Because one thing I can tell you is that every industry is different. The one thing I know about the entertainment industry is that creatives are motivated by their passion. And when you can find a group of people that are passionate for the common goal, and when it's actually quality and innovative in an industry that doesn't have it, they get excited. And then they kind of hop on board. And so we were able to basically just execute and produce something that in this industry had never been done before. It's kind of like the first time they saw Elvis's Rock Dance, or the first time that Thriller aired. You know, it was one of those things where it had never been done before. So people really didn't even know how to accept or take it. I sat back with the executive team at the time, and it was, you take the president of our company, who has been a pediatric dentist. He was the first in Georgia to build in-house sedation, where otherwise it was only offered in hospital. He's a pioneer in this area. He's seen thousands upon thousands of patients. He's done this and knows dentistry like the back of his hand. So for someone to come along and overnight, within 6 months to a year, be able to execute, really just kind of says, how far can we take this thing? And I think that's the key. When you can kind of find out what drives people's passion, then it becomes easy to execute on that and create deliverables that are sustainable. But you also have to look at your strengths and look at your resources and see if they can meet that expectation. Because honestly, execution without consistency is not really going to drive that buy-in value. Buy-in, by buy-in, I take you to mean invested, you know, and for people to be invested, they have to know that you can execute and execute consistently.
What's the most uncomfortable thing you've had to do to help grow the business?
Honestly, evolve with the times, kind of look at my weaknesses personally and not let them not get in my own head. Because there isn't a perfect science for what we've done. And the most uncomfortable thing for me has been step outside of my comfort zone, create these characters, and be willing to produce the end result when we hadn't created a roadmap for it because it hadn't been done. And also kind of the execution piece, the consistency piece being very important, but also, is this something that I'm really committed to? Because this is taking things in a different direction creatively that I've never been in. But you roll with that. And a lot of that comes from the self-help, identifying where your weaknesses are and not getting too caught up in them, but then kind of turning around and saying, well, if I tap into resources, can I learn from them and can I apply consistently so that I can see habitual improvement in myself? And it's a road, but I think we're getting there. And I think a big part too is inspiring our staff through our internal branding to see that they have the very same potential.
What are you consuming to help you keep a leg up on the competition? Websites, thought leaders, news outlets, what type of stuff are you keeping up with?
Everything, everything. Me personally, I don't have children. I'm not married. I'm 34 years old. And now that I have the full resources of my schedule and I've proven to the president of my company, who is my direct superior, that I am one that can deliver consistency consistently, he's very hands off. So Tony Robbins, Gary Vaynerchuk, Grant Cardone, in a more professional, innovative world, I'd say somebody like Tim Cook. You know, I'm thinking bigger than the scope of dentistry. Dentistry is known for its innovation in technology, but not known for its innovation in brand conceptualization, digital media, being on the forefront. And I hope that we can change that, but it's also going to be a matter of kind of stepping outside the realm of dentistry and what motivates those of this industry, and trying to really say, okay, we've gone this far. How are we going to take it to the next level? How are we going to create an outwardly recognizable brand where, for instance, I mentioned Tebow the Tooth. He's an extension of Tebow Dental. Well, how are we going to get Tebow the Tooth, our character, Tuck Me In Tebow, which is kind of like the Elmo thing that we talked about. And I can shoot you a link on it. It's a fascinating thing. But how are we going to make it something that doesn't require dentistry in order to be on its standalone? And the standing firm and getting clear on your decisions, knowing what decisions that you're going to make and knowing what you're going to be able to avoid in order to get to where your destination is. The other thing I'll say is that, you know, with 100 employees, I'm a key member when it comes to being with this company for 7 years, very, very involved with our staff. We want to really just kind of have a thank you economy kind of mentality when it comes to how we engage our patients and how we engage staff. And that's a book by Gary Vaynerchuk, by the way. It's fantastic. You should check it out. It has an audiobook. It's incredible. But to really just kind of take the approach of always being available, never being too busy, always being motivated, but kind of how you spend your time, right? I don't go to the club. I don't watch sport. So that gives me a lot of free time to stay focused. You know, I exercise a lot. And so having kind of like the right mentality, but being motivated by people who have proven a track record of success helps me feel like even though there's not a perfect science to it, other people have done similar things. So I can do the same as long as I stay consistent.
And we've talked about this a little bit on LinkedIn. I'm a huge fan of Gary, and I follow Grant Cardone's work as well. And speaking of those people that have really strong personal brands, how do you manage your own personal brand in the digital space?
That is a bit of a tough one, not because it's not possible, because I'm in the healthcare industry, right? And because I'm an executive of a privately owned dental group. And so I have to be careful about how I represent myself, but I just do it with discretion and I do it comfortably. You know, I don't touch on touchy subjects. I feel like, you know, with the level of creativity that we're bringing to the table, I think that with the different social media outlets, me being the, I don't want to say mastermind because we literally are like a think tank. In fact, our conference rooms, each of them are labeled think tank, A, B, and C throughout our home office, our headquarters. You know, so I don't necessarily feel that I have to perpetuate myself as a brand to drive value in my position or drive value in the creative digital media, the creative merchandise that is going to kind of roll reverse and do that as a natural result. But I also think it's important to see that light years ahead and say, if I do become an influencer or develop a personal brand in the sense that, you know, if it becomes something where I'm doing like constant podcasts of my own or, you know, video blogs, that kind of thing. What have I done in the past that could contradict who I've become because I couldn't appreciate and have the foresight to realize the weight of that? You got to be careful how you paint yourself and treat everything that you put out there as if you're on the cover of New York Times. And so I think there's a difference between being very opinionated on sensitive topics and being very driven by what you know works when it comes to business. And so for me, I focus on creativity, strengthening employees, because I see what it takes to be a good employee in the workforce of today. And I see the challenges that we face, not being able to be offered the kind of the roots that I would say that I've had that have just made things not more difficult, not worse, I would just say different. But I feel like I've had some advantages in the sense that I've been throughout this entire process and know what things were like before. So I can appreciate the importance of every single step. And so, you know, for example, when I post on social media, you know, I've just more recently started to take the approach of tying myself to the company that I work for, because the company that I work for and who I am as a personal brand haven't been as important until we started to define our company culture. And that has probably been the biggest pillar, the biggest milestone, I'll say, that we've been able to surpass in terms of clarity, is to really, really just be able to define our company culture. And that's given me a huge platform on what to say in terms of, this is the message we want to send the world. This is the difference that we want to make in the lives of our patients. And this is what we want to communicate to people who want to work for our company. And this is why being loyal to us is valuable to you as an employee. And I think that on some level, that's all what we're all looking for, right? You know, as entrepreneurs and as business people, as professionals, we want to work for a valuable, a company that values us. We want to be as individuals, we want to be treated as if there is value in what we provide. And so for kind of touching on that, because I'm actually living in it, I kind of feel like I'm on the front line of it, if you will. I think that that's allowed me to be able to have a clear and unique perspective, because it's not like working out of a three-desk office and I have like 30 clients. You know, we have over 15,000 patients. We have 100 employees. You know, we've doubled annual revenue since I've been here from about 3.6 to, I think, 8 mil next year. You know, so we're doing some very cool things, but we're putting a lot back into the community. We have one of the largest community service initiatives that I've seen in our area, where we go back and we see about 15,000 kids per year and we give them dental kits. And some of these kids don't even get toothbrushes and floss unless we go to the schools. And we've got branded vehicles that drive around town and literally do this stuff. We've got agencies and dental presenters and vendors who see our vision and work with us. And so, you know, having that kind of perspective, it's not like I'm trying to teach people how to do what I'm learning how to do every single step of the way. I've been in the costume. I've done the voices. I've been on the green screen. I've done everything virtually from a moral standpoint that I'd ask any of our team members to do. And so for me now, it's kind of like, okay, now that I'm creating that brand, how can I communicate those kind of virtues in a way that is appropriate in the healthcare industry? And also, what are the next 5 years going to look like, you know, and trying to anticipate that message and communicate it today to set people up for what our brands look like as individuals, as executives, and beyond.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking with Brandon Akira, VP of Marketing and Business Development, CCO of Thibault Dental Group. I appreciate your time, Brandon. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kelly. I'll talk to you soon.
If you enjoyed today's show, please share, subscribe, and leave a review on iTunes. Thank you for listening to the Digital Dive Media Podcast, and I'll see you in the next episode.